We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning to all of us. I'd like us to just start by saying a scripture from Psalm 24. If we could put it up on the screen. Psalm 24. I want us to read verse 7 to 10, just like we were worshiping, declaring what we believe in, and also in line with our theme. I'd like us to take note of what the Bible says in the book of Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. The Bible says, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Father, we thank you. You are the King of glory this morning. And so we lift your name in our homes, in this auditorium, in the car. Lord, wherever we are, we lift up your name. You are the King of glory. That ancient doors may open, ancient gates may open, for the King of glory wants to come in. The King of glory, he deserves our worship, deserves our praise. Let the King of glory come. Oh, thank you, mighty King. Let your name be magnified this morning. And God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. I just want to speak to us today on the second part of the series we launched last week. Thank you, Phil. Maybe don't go too far. I actually wish you could have played, but anyway. We started last week on the first key, which is prayer. And we're building on that, which we did last week, where we say that in order for doors to open, we've got to think about prayer. In fact, we've got to engage prayer in our lives. We looked at the life of Jabez. And this morning, we're looking at the second key. And the second key to opening doors is the key of praise. The key of praise. I'm reading from Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through to 34. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 34. Praise is a very important thing in the kingdom of God. It's an important key in this kingdom that we are signed up for, the kingdom of God. And the story I'm reading is about Paul and Silas as they broke into Europe, and they're preaching in the city called Philippi. And it is this story where I pick it up from verse 25. And the Bible says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we're all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Says, what must I do to be saved?" Amen. What must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas were doing amazing work in the city of Philippi. But before this jailer asked this question, in fact, the Bible says one of the reasons that they got into the city, one of the encouragements they got in this city was when a lady called Lydia, the Bible says, and the Lord opened their hearts to the word of the Lord. And so she opened her heart for the gospel to enter her life. and she was never the same woman. And it is from that woman then that Paul and Silas decide to do much more work in this city. And as they were preaching the word of God, there was a girl, a slave girl, who had the spirit of divination by which she could tell fortunes. And her owners made a lot of money through this trade or through this gift that she had, a demonic gift. She could tell fortunes. So the city was in uproar when Paul one day cast out this spirit from this girl, and the owners of this slave girl were not chuffed. They were not happy at all. And so they led a kind of an uprising in the city. Paul and Silas were then thrown into prison. In fact, before that happened, they were beaten up with rods, a lot of blows, and the magistrate said to the jailer, take care of them. That meant that put them in the west cell. And so they were put in the inner cell. And then after that, we then pick up the story where we read that they were actually singing and praying. And a lot of things happened the moment they did that. So I want to look at the key of praise. The key of praise. What do Paul and Silas do when they are thrown into the inner cell? The Bible is clear that they chose to turn this key called praise. They chose to turn this key called praise. What is praise? Quickly, I'm just going to go over this. What is praise? Praise is our access into the presence of God. When we praise God, we are trying to get into where God is at. This is what attracts the presence of God to us. Praise attracts God to where we are. What is praise? Praise is how we come to know God, because God makes himself known through praise. He reveals himself when we praise him. What is praise? Praise is God's dwelling place. It's his sphere of influence and authority in your life. The Bible says the Lord dwells in the presence, in the praises of his people. That's in Psalm 22. The Lord dwells in the tehillah of his people. So when the people of God praise him, God comes in and takes his seat. That's why we say it's a place of his dwelling, a sphere of influence and authority in your life. So when you praise God, you are opening your heart, you are opening your life to the power, the influence, and the authority of God in your life. So in essence, God will show up when you praise him. Even in the midst of your darkest moments, whenever you are able to praise God, you are inviting him into your situation, whether you're going through the worst moment of your life, whether you're going through the most challenging moment of your life, whether you're going through a dip in your life. When you praise God, you are inviting him to come into that place. And when Jesus comes in that place, it cannot remain the same. So today, we are looking at how Paul and Silas turned the key of praise in such a way that heavens were opened and doors were opened too. So it's an interesting story because it's very, very clear in the story that the prison doors were opened because these guys decided to pray and sing hymns to the Lord. Number one that we learn, what are some things that we can pick from this story? Number one is that praising God can be done from anywhere at any time. Praising God can be done from anywhere at any time. The Jews had been raised to go to the place where the tent of meeting was or where the temple was. Their whole worship was centered on the temple. So it was almost difficult to conceive in their minds that you could worship anywhere outside Jerusalem. And so I want you to have this in the background. But here we're talking about a Gentile people. But they also had shrines. They had temples that they went to worship their God. And we're introduced here to a whole new thing here because Paul and Silas, they found themselves in an inner cell of the Roman prison. And calling it an inner cell is an understatement. It was more like a rat hole, a dungeon. This is what it is, a Roman cell. An inner cell, that is where the worst punishment is at. And the instruction was very clear, put them in the inner cell. The worst place you can be in. And that's where they found themselves. It's a hole of punishment. Nonetheless, Paul and Silas didn't complain about how dark it is, how slimy the whole place is, and the rats that they could see running all over the place, and they could feel them crawling underneath them. They didn't complain about the urine smell in that cell. We don't read about them moaning and complaining and say, I don't even think this is God's will. That we're in this rat hole. It wasn't a lovely place. It's one of those wonderful places to complain if you are gifted in that direction. All your grumbling skills are made alive in that place. But not so with Paul and Silas. Can I say that it was the most inconvenient place to praise God? There's no fixed place to praise God, believers. Let me let you know today that there is no fixed place to praise God. You don't need a church building to worship God. You don't need a church building. And then there's in verse 25, if you could put it on the screen, Acts 16, verse 25. Is it verse 25? In fact, yeah, 25. It says, I was wondering why Luke, who wrote this gospel, would care to give us the detail of the time when they started their praise and worship session. So they were thrown in prison, let's say about 6 p.m. We don't know what time. They waited until midnight. At midnight, they say, hey, Silas, how about singing? Hey, Silas, how about praying? So at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, we know that Silas is not the present worship leader of Sheffield Community Church. We also know that Paul is not the director of the music ministry in Sheffield Community Church. Paul happens to be an apostle. Silas happens to be a prophet. I have not read about their giftings in singing, in worshiping, in playing guitars and keyboards and drums and organs and all sorts of instrumentation that is found in the house of God. I don't read about that. But what I do read about is that they decided that they will sing and give praise to God. And the hour they chose to sing is the interesting one. It was at midnight. See, when you worship God at midnight, it's a sign, for those of you that don't know, it's a sign that not all is well within your soul. Maybe not your soul, but not all is well around your life, within what's happening in your situation. There's a situation going on. That's why you wake up at midnight, you can't sleep. At midnight, you turn and twist and turn. Sleep is not coming. That's a signal that something ought to happen. And so Paul and Silas decide at midnight that, hey, how about singing that old song? Hey, how about trying that hymn? I can imagine if it was me, I'll say, oh, wait, so where's Phil to start the song? Where's Roper today? Where's she? Why doesn't she start the song? Because I can't sing when the keyboard is not being played. Can you imagine Silas saying that? Tell your neighbor, worship is done at any time. Anyway. Amen. All is not well if you're going to wake up at midnight and start praising God. Perhaps you are in your midnight hour right now in your life. I want to say to you, you don't need to wait for Sunday for the pastor to pray for you. You don't need to wait for Sunday worship in the morning. You don't even need to be in the building. Right where you are, in your kitchen, in your home, in your car, you can begin to praise God. Midnight hour, by the way, is not about darkness. Midnight hour is about a situation in your life. It's a station in your life. Things might not be working the way you want them to work. It's your midnight hour. You might have been treated badly for something you don't even understand. It's your midnight hour. You might be expecting results in a certain situation, but the results are negative. That's your midnight hour. You need God to come through for you. Wherever you are, you might be in a midnight hour today. We can learn something from Paul and Silas, because they were in their midnight hour, but they responded in a different way. They said, we will pray and we will sing in this situation, for our exit, our solution comes from our lips. Praising God. You can worship God anyway, at any time. That's what Paul and Silas did. They spent night praying and singing. Now, watch what happened. When they started singing and praying, if you could put the scripture back, it says that, this scripture is amazing, because it says that, well, they were singing and, no, the one before that. Now, you've gone ahead of my message, worship team guy, music guy. Just hold on, keep it here, okay? Verse 25. Says, and the prisoners, does it say they were complaining about the noise? Imagine me trying to sing in the shower, it's not a problem. There's nobody to complain. But if I'm going to sing with my voice, and I believe Paul and Silas were not gifted in that direction. But when they started singing, the prisoners were listening to them, meaning they were interested in what they were hearing. They were not offended by the tone, the baritone, the soprano, the alto, the bass. They were not angry because of all those kind of, because see, how many of you know that when it's your midnight hour, you really don't care whether you're singing bass or discord or whatever. You really don't care about all. Say, Lord, break through now in the name of Jesus. May this door open. That's all you're concerned about. Oh, you know, my voice, your voice is a bit. You don't know what I'm going through. You have no idea what I'm going through. I'm not trying to sell an album, so I don't care about soprano. I'm in my midnight hour. I want this door opened in Jesus' name. So other prisoners were listening. What am I trying to say to you? Whenever you decide to praise God, praise is an external engagement. You cannot praise God and not affect somebody. Oh, I'm praising God inside my heart. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Whenever you praise God, you affect somebody. And when it's anointed of the Holy Ghost, it touches somebody's life. It touches somebody's life. So they were listening. What is praise? Sometimes praise, there are different ways of expressing praise. Sometimes the Bible is saying, clap all ye people unto the Lord. It's a noise that clearly there is an expression. There is an expression. Whenever you praise God, there must be an expression. The Bible says, sing unto the Lord. In other words, vocal cords are engaged. Not spiritual vocal cords. The ones that you have. They are engaged. Sing unto the Lord. Play musical instruments unto the Lord. You can use instruments if you're going to praise God. You can use instruments. I've got to be careful about instruments here. Because the Bible says, and David played skillfully. I've got to be careful there. But if you're alone in your room, in your kitchen, grab that guitar and just play it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just don't record it. You can do anything with praise. You can lift up your hands, for example. You can speak and sing in tongues. Most of these you can be seen and heard. All these make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's part of praise. It's part of worshiping God. God wants us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It is part of Scripture. Listen to what Psalm 66 verse 8 says. Psalm 66 verse 8 says, praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Let the sound of his praise be heard. And that's what happened in prison that day. They heard them praising God. They listened to them praising God. And this is the right thing to do. So don't be ashamed of worshiping God. It's very important to express your praise to God. You know, your houses should be filled with shouts of hallelujah. Praise. Just shout from nowhere and say hallelujah. It's praising God. It's normal in the house of God. It's normal in your house. It's normal in your room. It's normal in your kitchen. Make it normal. Make it normal. Because praising God is part of our life. Here's number two. Number two, what does praise do? What do we learn from here? Number two is that praise changes your environment. Praise changes your environment. Now, these guys are in prison. If you could put that screen, that scripture that you're very keen to put up earlier on. And the Bible says, man, the guy on the computer is on fire today. He's flowing with me. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Wow. And three things happened. It says, the foundation of the whole prison was shaken. And when it was shaken, immediately, all the doors in the prison cells, all the prison cell doors were opened. And remember, Silas and Paul in particular, they were put in stocks. That means that their feet were bound. And those chains fell. Anyone in that prison with chains that day, they fell. Why? Because of a great earthquake. My Bible says there was a great earthquake. Not just an earthquake, but a great earthquake. See, because their midnight praise caused a great earthquake to come. They touched heaven. Heaven responded to their praise. In an unlikely place, in an inconvenient place, heaven still responded by showing up in the form of an earthquake. A great earthquake was sent specifically to that prison, and things happened. He says it was so sudden, so God could not fit into that cell. And because God could not fit into that cell, the foundations were shaken. The chains had to fall. The doors had to be opened because God had shown up in that cell. God is too big for your problem. Wherever your midnight is, when God shows up in your midnight moment, I'm telling you, things have to turn around. That environment has to be changed. Paul and Silas saw it. They experienced it. They witnessed it because a great earthquake came from a worship session without a keyboard, a worship session without the best music director in Sheffield, a worship session without even PowerPoint. So you tell me, what's stopping you from worshiping God from where you are? What's stopping you from starting to worship God? Whatever you're facing, what is stopping you from worshiping God? Does someone have a voice in this place? What's stopping you from worshiping God? Worship can change your environment. God shows up and things change. God shows up in a little jail and everything changes. That jail, everything. Imagine Paul and Silas, they were still hurting from the wounds. Remember, they were beaten by rods. They were still bleeding. They could have had a pity party all night that day, but they chose not to. They could have groaned and moaned. Remember, they could have been licking their wounds. They couldn't even scratch themselves because they were in stocks. But what did they do? They said, we will praise God. Even in this situation, even in this environment, we choose to worship God. We will not stop worshiping God because we lost our job. We will not stop worshiping God because we lost that contract. We will not stop worshiping God because we were told off at work or my mom told me off, so I'm angry with God. I'm not going to worship God no more because your mom told you off. Really? And here are folks that are in prison, in pain. and wondering, what's going on in this city? We've just been doing well. We've been preaching the word of God. How is it then that we're in this prison? They said, we will not groan. We will not do all that. We will worship the living God. And that's what they did. I challenge you today, worship God. He will change your environment. Wherever you are, God can change it. God can change your situation. Believe me, no matter what persecution you're going through, God can change your situation. He can. He can. He's in the business of changing situations in our lives. See, their response is the secret. Their response was, this problem cannot be solved by moaning and complaining and grumbling. This problem can be solved by heaven. And how do we connect with heaven? We will use the second key, and the second key is praise. They chose to praise God. And when, as they were praising God, as they were worshiping God, the Bible says, suddenly there was an earthquake. In other words, heaven was in a hurry to break into that situation. A praise worship session led by people that were not known for leading worship, but heaven still received their praise like incense. It came because they sacrificed something. God is attracted by the sacrifice you're making. It's not your tone. It's not the type of song you're singing. No. What are you sacrificing to worship God? What are you sacrificing? Is it convenient for you to worship God? Because praise brings God into your environment. That's why they worshiped God. That's why they said, we will do this one thing. You might be in a depressing, soaked cell this morning. You might be in a resentment-filled cell this morning. You might be in a desperate cell this morning. I want to say to you that when you worship God, when you begin to open your lips and begin to praise God, that cell will be invaded by the presence of God. And you will never be the same. You will close that cell. That door will be open. You walk out of that cell, and you won't go back anymore to that cell. Whatever cell you are in this morning, God can change that environment. And you know what? God is coming in there where you are. He's going to break into that cell where you are, and he's going to take you out in the name of Jesus. Paul and Silas were able to bring heaven to the worst place in the prison cell. Heaven can reach where you are. God can come where you are. Whatever you're facing, you can engage with God. You can attract God. Remember, praise is attracting the presence of God where you are. You can do that. You can do that. Anybody here can do that. You don't need to be afraid. God can help you to do that. Amen. Your life may be full of problems, and we do get into problems once in a while. And one of the ways of getting out of that situation is to start praising God, because God will come and dwell in you. You ever wondered, people wonder, how is it that there's sickness around us? How is it that people are losing jobs in this global situation going on? And how is it that there's always a smile on your face? How is it that you're always looking like you are in control? Well, I've got a secret here. The secret is, I have found a way of being in God's dwelling place. I found a way of being under the shadow of the Almighty God. And it is in that place where I find rest. I find rest. It doesn't mean that I don't have a yoke over me. It's just that the yoke that I have over me is lighter because it's from the Lord. So I run to him because that's where my tower of safety is. I've learned to do that through praise, through praise, through praise, through praise. We praise our way out of a tough situation. We praise our way out of a sticky situation. We don't talk and complain our way out of a difficult situation as children of God. We praise our way out of that situation. That's what children of God do. You are a child of God.
Okay, my time is running quite low at the moment. So let's I want you to just imagine what kind of life it could be when you begin to praise God from today. Imagine what could happen to your situation. Imagine how your environment will change completely. Here is the last point. Okay, fine, Phil, start playing. Here is the last thing, and then... I think I'm running behind, not only in time. In a number of fronts today. Let's go to the third one, and then we'll pray. What does praise do? Praise opens doors into the hearts of people that don't know Christ. The Bible says, if you could put that scripture up, where it says, what shall I do? What can I do to be saved? Go to 27. Then the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were open. He saw his sword. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. And then Paul cried with a loud voice and said, do not harm yourself. For we are all here. Even though the doors have been opened, we are all here. Even though the foundations have been shaken, we are all here. Even though there's been a great earthquake in this place, we are all here. Now, that's not the issue. The issue is the next question. The issue is the next question. Where he says, the Bible says, he then went to them. He fell, trembled, and said, what must I do to be saved? Who's this jailer? The jailer in those days, there were Roman soldiers that had retired and they took up employment just to while up time. So these were hardened men, hardened soldiers. So looking after prisoners was a small thing for them because they had survived the battles of Rome. They've survived battle after battle and now they are retired. They don't want to be bothered. They were mean, they were tough, they were hard. You could not get anything past them. And here is a hardened jailer was told by magistrates to take care of these two prisoners. That's code name for give them hard treatment. So he gives them a hard treatment. And a Roman soldier never just bows to anybody except Caesar. And then all of a sudden, all we are thinking, have you ever seen those movies where there is the main plot, but there is a subplot playing at the bottom here. So you can see the main plot, but there's a subplot happening. And if you keep your eyes on the main plot, you'll miss the fun on the subplot because the subplot affects the main plot. So here's what's happening. God sends a great earthquake that shakes the foundation, but meanwhile, there is a heartquake that was being sent that hit the jailer. That was the issue. That's the reason Paul was in prison. That's the reason Paul chose to praise God and not focus on his circumstances. The reason he was praising God is he was waiting for a heartquake on a hardened man, a hardened heart to be broken through by praise. And so that hardened man, that hardened jailer, he trembles with fear and falls on his feet in front of men, Jews, and says, what shall I do? In fact, he thought the prisoners had escaped. He all along has been thinking it's about the physical that he's seeing. All along has been thinking it's about my job. It's about my income. It's about my family. It's about my house. It's about my situation. That's all along he's thinking. He's thinking this problem is happening because of what I am seeing with my eyes. Meanwhile, heaven is saying, that's not what it is. Your way out is spiritual because praise is spiritual. The issue in the prison was spiritual. It's the jailer that God was after, because people matter to God. You know, saints, God will do anything to come for one soul. If it means sending a big fish for one soul, God will send that fish. If it means sending blinding light for one man to fall off his horse so that God could use him to reach out to the Gentiles, God will send the blinding light. If it means sending a great earthquake to get one hardened jailer, God will send that great earthquake. And so here is a hardened man who says, what shall I do to get saved? And remember, it's at midnight. That jailer could be your dad. That jailer could be your husband, could be your wife. That jailer with a hardened heart could be your son. That jailer could be your uncle that always curses and swears. That jailer could be your uncle, your aunt somewhere that you've been praying, saying, God, how can I get through? Listen to me now. When you begin to praise God and thanking God that, God, I thank you for the heartquake that you are sending into this prison cell. I thank you for the heartquake that you are sending into my family. I thank you for the heartquake that you are sending into my company, into my business. Lord, I thank you for that heartquake. Everybody else is seeing the earthquake, but no, you are a Christian. You see deeper than the earthquake. There are deeper truths in the things of God, and it's the heartquake you want because people matter to God. Who matters to you this morning? Who are you carrying in your heart this morning that are saying, God, I'm praising you for these names in your presence? So Paul and Silas, they are bleeding. They are in pain. But they knew the big picture. The big picture is God is looking for a hardened man in this cell. And he's not a prisoner. He's the man who beat us up. He's the man who locked us up. He's the man who's watching over us. That is the man God is after. Could it be? Could it be that God has put you in that cell so that you discover the power of praise? Hardened man. An uncle that has said, that one will never get saved. You have said it with your lips, with your own mouth. But listen, there is nothing impossible to God. Nothing. Nothing. I want to close. Praise has a way of softening the hardened hearts of people. It doesn't matter who they are. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're saying, oh, Pastor, this is spiritual stuff. How is praise related to me losing my job? Come on, Pastor, be real. I want something practical. Tell me about how to write a CV that wins the attention of my employers. That's what I want to hear. How does praise help me move, help me get a job when I got a third class degree? Pastor, get real. I can hear you. Listen to me. When they were in that prison cell, bleeding, in pain, and God says, if you praise me, if you praise me, I'll come and dwell where you are. How about trying it? What do you lose? What do you stand to lose? They were in a prison cell. They said, listen, why don't we sing that song? We might even miss some chords in it. We might not even, it might be just the, please don't stone me. You know the African songs where we sing one chorus for 10 minutes? You know what I'm talking about? Example. Jehovah Adonai, Adonai, Jehovah Adonai, 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 Jehovah Adonai, 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 Jehovah, you give me victory, you give me victory. Sing that song in that cell. Keep going, because Jehovah Adonai will show up in that cell. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Keep going. Don't get too theological with God. Just keep going. Whatever is laid in your heart, keep singing it in your spirit. All day from sunrise to sunset, Jehovah Adonai, Jehovah Adonai, Jehovah Adonai. Keep going, because he will show up in your prison cell. He will show up. That's what he did. I can tell you this, that God can change your situation. God can change things in your life when you honor him with your praise. Amen. Shall you stand in your feet if you're in the building? I want to pray with you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They began to praise. I'm just going to give you a few minutes. You know, praise is serious business with God. Why don't you just open your mouth, begin to praise God? Thank God for something. How about changing the atmosphere in this place. Just start praising God, saying, God, I thank you. God, I give you glory. Feel, play something like Kadosh. Praise and worship team, come in close for us. Come in close for us. Let's sing that song and then we worship for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise this morning. We give you praise. We give you praise. Rebo Sokoreba. Jesus.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.